Is this it? We're on? Hey, good morning, Central Oregon. Hope you're out there doing great. Did you by chance see those mountains? Oh, my goodness. You know, we do live in a beautiful, beautiful area. You know, it's unfortunate sometimes that, you know, some of the other ancillary things that are happening around us sort of get in our way and we lose perspective of the fact that, you know, really it is pretty good. And no matter how difficult traffic may seem at times, all you have to do sometimes is travel outside of the area and go someplace where they actually have traffic. And then you come back and realize, well, even that's not so bad around here. So anyway, thanks so much for listening in today. Number here at the station is 541-388-1110. Absolutely love to have you call in. We've been hitting on a number of issues, been getting really, really good listener support lately. And I just want to thank you because you're the reason we're here. And, you know, if you've got a question or a concern or a topic or whatever it may be, you know, chances are really, really good that there's somebody else in the community that has exactly those same questions or concerns. So call in, share them. And, you know, to that end, over the last couple of weeks, it's been interesting. You know, we had some discussion here a couple of weeks ago about property lines and encroachment issues and how you could remedy those and how you could either give somebody permission, you could grant them an easement, or you could maybe even go so far as to do a lot line adjustment and, you know, maybe sell them that sliver of land, you know, whichever way you wanted to remedy it. And it's been really quite interesting. I've received a number of emails. You know, again, you can always go to my website, askfredjohnson.com, or you can just send me an email direct at fred@dukewarner.com. Any suggestions, recommendations for the program, love to hear from you. Absolutely love to hear from you. And then, you know, one of the things that was interesting last week is I sort of made an off statement as we were getting close to signing off. And I said that, you know, property ownership was no better, was really the great model for equity and inclusion. And we're hearing an awful lot about equity and inclusions being sort of put in our way, and maybe it's sort of being interpreted for us. And hopefully through the course of the show tonight, you know, basically the reason that I said that was, you know, basically during the post-war era, you know, that was like, you know, 1945 to 1974, you know, we had a lot of employment and we had a lot of opportunity for property ownership. And that was due in part to a number of different things, but that's where the suburbs came from. That's where middle class came from. That's where truly we had equity. People had the ability to purchase property. They had the ability to go to work and better themselves and participate in the American economy. And over the years, those properties and their value and their estate participated in the income and increased in value, and they had more net worth as they're going into their retirement years than they did prior to that. And that was the point that I was making there. And I'm going to offer some other information on that, you know, as we kind of get rolling here. But it seems to be the number one topic of discussion from a lot of different ways. And one of the things that I just want to promote one more time is that, gosh, if you can find a property out there that fits your needs and it looks good to you as a place to live for the next 10 years, take a good long look at it. It's something, and I'll share some additional information with you as the course goes on, but it doesn't really look like, in spite of interest rates, it doesn't really look like it's going to get much easier to purchase those sort of things moving forward, and there's a number of pressures coming in that direction. So let me go number one here. Let's deal with a bulletin because we like to get that out of the way in the first quarter. And there was an interesting article, and it's maybe a little bit confusing to folks because this too is one of those topics where they keep moving things around. Now, escrow or title companies are often, those two terms are often interchanged. And, you know, the title company is really the company that, if you will, it's an insurance company that issues title insurance so that you can be either give or receive clear, clean title upon close of escrow. So in other words, they go back through the county records, make sure that there's no liens or obligations recorded against the property before the transaction is consummated, or conveyed is the other term that's used for it. And with that, they issue what's called the title insurance policy, and the title insurance policy insures the buyer, also insures the seller against the making up the debt deficiency later, but it basically says, hey, if there was a recorded lien against the property and we missed it and we didn't pay it, satisfy it, you as the buyer purchased a property that did not have any liens and encumbrances on it, and it's the insurance company's responsibility to pay that. That's primarily what the title insurance does. The title the title office, or the escrow office, is also the office that acts as a disinterested third party and fills out the paperwork for both parties. Doesn't represent the buyer, doesn't represent the seller. They're a neutral party in between. They act only as instructed per the sales agreement, and they give that out. Okay, well, the reason for all this backstory is, once again, the bulletin picked up an online article, and I thought that it was just a little bit confusing because it said understanding escrow. Now, in this application, this is basically what can be called a reserve account. And this is a reserve account where, when you're making your monthly payments, instead of just paying principal and interest, in other words, just paying for the loan, and then paying your taxes on your own and paying your insurance on your own, this, and is often required by a number of lenders, that you incorporate a prorated amount for taxes and insurance in addition to your principal and interest, so that each month you give a payment. We refer to it as PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, so that when that big fat tax bill comes up in November right before Christmas, you don't have to write a big fat check because you've been giving a little bit of money each month throughout the year, so that those monies are in your reserve account at the time that that is due, and then the person or the party that is servicing your loan pays those taxes at that time. They generally pay it, the taxes come out on November 1st. If you pay it by November 15th, I think you get a little 3% reduction or something like that. And they generally pay those in that window so that you do get the benefit of that 3% tax benefit. There's no interest paid to you or any of that sort of thing on that account. And the same goes with your insurance policy. Let's say you bought your home in March. Okay, well, in next March, that premium for the homeowner's policy is going to come due. Now, obviously, having these things paid is to the lender's benefit, because then they know that there's not going to be a tax lien because you haven't paid taxes for the last couple of years, or there's not a potential loss because there was a fire and you didn't have the place insured, and so you just walked away and left the lender holding the bag, and they've had the house burn and it wasn't there. So there needs to be an assurance to them that their loan is secured with a good homeowner's policy that is sufficient to cover the loan balance in the event of a complete loss, so that they're there and that the taxes are paid and current, so that it's there. So this article talks about understanding escrow, and the critical accounts assures your property doesn't accidentally go into foreclosure. Well, that is the reserve account that is part of your home purchase. And those funds, actually, while they're in that account, are still yours. They're sort of a prepay, but it's still considered your money at that time. And each year, if you have one, each year, generally speaking, after the beginning of the year, probably many of you have just dealt with it here in the last month or so, you'll receive a letter from the servicing agent. I'll clear that up in just a second. from the servicing agent that will say, hey, you know, we were looking at your reserve account and we noted that we're not taking in enough money because each year your premium on your taxes or your premium on your insurance is going up and your tax rate is going up. So if we keep taking in the same money we did last year at a lower value, we won't have enough money in your account when the money comes due. So you have a couple of choices. One, we can adjust your monthly payment to increase it just a little bit to cover that principal and interest. Or you can send us a check right now for what we anticipate the spread or the anticipated deficiency to be, and then we'll hold the payment as it has been for that. More often than not, it's just as easy to go ahead and just allow them to amend the payment, because you know pretty well that in this world, taxes and insurance are going to continue to go up. So you're going to be doing that each year. So you could either fight it and pretend like it's not coming and really hold the line on what that monthly payment is, and then have to write a check at the beginning of each year, or just go ahead and allow them to roll it over, because they're also required, and this is a federal deal, they're required to keep, they can only keep so much excess in your account there. They can't, I don't know what the percentage is, 10% over, 12% over, or something along that line. but anyway, that was the purpose of this article. The purpose of this article was to allow you to know that, and not to be confused with your local title company or your escrow company, because what we have in these loans is loans are, you know, anybody that saw the movie The Big Short, you know, you kind of got a little snapshot of what was going on there. And basically what happened some years ago is they allowed mortgage loans to be turned into real estate-based securities. Basically what that meant is that it allowed them to be bundled in large groups because they were all procured the same way. They all went through a credit rating, an income to debt rating, so that the purchaser can qualify for their ability to service the loan. And then there was an appraisal process that was done so that the property was appraised by a licensed appraiser so that they know that the loan balance to the value, the loan to value ratio is what we call that. So whether you put down 20% and it's an 80% loan to value, or you put down 3.5% and it's a 96.5% loan to value, whatever that relationship is, for the loan to be acknowledged as, you know, sort of A-grade paper, the purchaser needs to have the ability to repay the loan, and the property needs to meet the appraisal process for the value. And then that, along with a bunch of other loans, can be packaged together and then sold to, oftentimes they're sold to large institutional investors like pension funds and that sort of thing. You know, maybe it's the shoreline workers in Boston or whatever, and they decide that they want to buy a bundle of mortgage loans because they know that they can place their money there and get an interest return. Then they hire what is called a servicing agent. And the servicing agent can be anybody and a different name. And every now and again, what will happen is you'll get a notification that says, you know, hey, you've been sending your loan over there to the guys at Capital Servicing, and now we're over here at Tri-County Servicing, and we've taken over your loan, and we're now the servicing agent on it. Of course, you want to make sure that that's correct, but it generally is. And they're the ones that manage the month. So basically what happens is you send them the payment. They then pay the payment toward the lender who's actually owns the security, and they place money into your impound account or your reserve account for your taxes and insurance at a future date. And so there's a fair amount of regulation on all of that because they fall underneath a number of different regulatory bodies. But that's what this article was getting at. This article is getting at, don't be surprised by it. If your lender requires, and more often than not, you know, they sort of give you the option. If you put 50% down, they figure, heck, if you want to take the risk and pay your own taxes and insurance, you can. If you want to put under 20% down, it's almost always called for that impound account is part of your monthly payment for your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So hopefully that kind of cleared that or cleaned that up a little bit, or maybe it was just me and you didn't give any concern. however that may be. So there's stuff happening everywhere. And again, the number at station here is 541-388-1110. You can always, again, send me an email at fred@dukewarner.com. And if you'd like to call in, please do. We're going to take a little break here. I want to thank you so much for listening to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110, KBND.